was a meltdown that happened somewhere. Poison the earth, water and air. But it isn't news with the TV or press, 'cause that was the week of Lady Gaga's new dress. Antiquities being destroyed in Iraq, children are starving from U.S. attack. But we never gave it 1 minute thought, 'cause that was the week John Edwards got caught. Telecom industry caught up in spying, Bush and Obama caught up in lying.
From Colorado and today Los Angeles, welcome to the Tim Danhey Show here at Danhey.com. And we all value constitutional rights. It's easy, you know, freedom of speech, freedom of assembly, freedom of the press, you know, and we also have the right to be secure in our persons, our houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures. And that's the exact wording. Ostensibly, this protects us from government. But what happens when corporations such as Google or Facebook unreasonably search our information for their own purposes, or worse, as an agent for the government? Well, it's happening. And here to talk about it and his new book, They Know Everything About You, How Data Collecting Corporations and Snooping Government Agencies Are Destroying Democracy, written by author Robert Scheer. Bob, welcome to the Tim Danhey Show.
Good to be here.
Well, it's an honor to have you. You've done a lot of good work over the years. And this book, I have to be honest with you, it scared the living daylights out of me. You know, people think that the only information about them out there is stuff that they, you know, from public records or what they post. But it really is far more comprehensive, isn't it?
Yeah, it's quite ominous. It's the world of 1984 and Brave New World combined, where we have been lulled into voluntarily giving up the most intimate information about ourselves. I mean, our underwear size, what book we read, how far we read in a book, what music we listen to, who we have dinner with, you know, when we vote, generally how we vote, sexual preference. And accompanied by, I did it today because I use an iPhone 6. I gave my thumbprint, I think, about 40 times today just to use my phone. So if there had been any totalitarian government in the world that had required fingerprints every time you ate a meal, every time you listened to a song, every time you had a conversation or sent a letter, you would consider that to be the most invasive totalitarian experience. And we have accepted it not as a totalitarian experience, we've accepted it as an extension of consumer sovereignty. We've defined freedom as the freedom to shop and an infinite variety, and we're just thrilled when ads pop up next to whatever we're reading, reminding us of what we just read and asking if we want to buy something. And so we accepted this basic pact with the devil of consumerism for convenience. You know, you want a restaurant, this is my location, you can correlate that with other people, you'll know exactly where we ate, how long we ate, and what we ate. But the problem that happened with the Edward Snowden leaks, we'd had some indication before, but thanks to Snowden, who I think is one of the bravest and important individuals of our recent history, we now know that this is not a private activity between you and a company. Even if that were the case, which it wasn't, because these companies have these meaningless terms of agreement, things that you say, yes, I accept. And this data, it was being mined by third parties, and shared loosely, and it was all intended to sell you stuff. But what Snowden did is he showed us that this isn't in any sense in a private sector, that this is information that not only our government, but generally any government in the world can access. And with that, you lose really the founding notion of the American political experience, which was privacy, well, individual sovereignty, the right to be left alone, the right to be in your own domicile, which goes back into English common law and was considered sacred and actually the spark started the American Revolution when agents of the king violated that principle.
Well, Bob, when we look at like social media, and I do want to get into the government aspect in a little bit, but when we look at social media, and it's become kind of a utility, like even the phone or the internet or even electric power, even the U.S. mail, it's like that. But when we click I agree to begin this utility, this service, we've really surrendered far more than we've imagined, right?
Well, we've surrendered any right we have to privacy, and not just to the company we're dealing with, because these terms of agreement, which are so vague and complex, you're basically saying they can do anything with the data. They can sell it to other people. They can sell it to political campaigns. They can give it to the government. They can do anything they want with it. So you no longer have private space. And that didn't have to be, by the way. You know, we struggled before 9/11. We actually had a debate about this when under Bill Clinton we did the financial deregulation, and the insurance companies and banks were going to now merge their data. And there were some folks, conservative and liberal, it's basically a bipartisan issue, the people who care about privacy, and said, no, you shouldn't be allowed to do that unless you have the informed consent of the individual. And by informed consent, they have specifically said, yes, I opt in. You can use this data. And then if you try to use it some other way, you have to come back and ask my permission. And at that point in the late 1990s, there were people saying, you know, this should be the rule. But that wasn't approved by Congress, and Bill Clinton did not make that a standard. And as a result, we really have no privacy protections that are worth speaking about. And as a result, you have no way of being secure in your own residence, is what it is.
Well, you mention on page 58 of your book a company called Axiom, and you talked about how much information, pieces of data, are available per consumer. Can you share that information?
It's every bit of information. It's everything every can of soup you purchase. It's every. It's not only did you buy a book, but how far did you read in the book? If it's an e-book, and you know, did you share it with someone? For instance, the example I use, if you went to see the movie 50 Shades of Grey, okay, that is known. Then what did you do afterwards? Did you buy a book? Did you buy Lady Chatterley's Lover? Or did you send an email to a girlfriend? Or did you meet with other people to discuss the book? And so there's no zone of individual sovereignty. There's no the whole assumption of the American political experiment is you have a right to be left alone. You have a right to be alone with your thoughts, your diary, your friends, your associates, and to think different thoughts, to push the envelope and so forth. That was basic to the whole idea. And we weren't going to have this magnifying glass on every bit of our activity. But thanks to these technological changes, which are incredible, you know, the amount of information we turn off, the way you can mine it, store it, you know, use supercomputers to compare notes. For instance, just posting pictures of your friends. We now have the ability to compare 20 million faces or eyeballs and do comparisons in a couple of hours and find all the people who are trying to identify. Well, so the ability to monitor is what we're really talking about, is extensive. Now, some people say, so what? You're not going to do anything wrong, and why do you care? But that's where you get self-censorship. That's where you get a different pattern of behavior. If people think they are being watched, and we have many psychological experiments done over the years, they act differently. They act more cautiously. They don't have certain thoughts. They don't engage in certain activities. They don't experiment because they're afraid. And the most effective totalitarian society is the one where people have the illusion of freedom, but yet they think they're being watched all the time.
Well,
those are the major experiments. Because if you know you're being watched, and you'll just think of what happened to Martin Luther King, which was dealt with in the movie Selma. You know, here was this great civil rights leader, and J. Edgar Hoover, you know, everybody says, oh, well, but our government is benign. No, the assumption of our Constitution is that your government will not be benign, okay? The people who gave us that Fourth Amendment that you referred to before, they were going to be the government, you know, Madison, Washington, Jefferson, and they included that Fourth Amendment protection precisely because they thought the government could sour, that the government could be oppressive, that government officials could be corrupted, that power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely. So they included this notion of limited, well, now included, based our whole governance on limited government, on checks and balances, on the rights of the individual, precisely because they thought that even with the best of intentions, they would go awry. And we've seen that. We've been lied into wars. We've been deceived. And one startling example was with Martin Luther King, when J. Edgar Hoover and the top people in the FBI decided to destroy King. They didn't like what he was doing. And so they set about finding everything in his personal life and his behavior, and then used it to blackmail him, and their goal was to drive him to suicide. They sent false letters, saying he would be exposed, and so forth. Now, King, at least in that time, you had to have a physical wiretap. You had to have somebody follow him in a car. You had to have somebody listen in the hotel room. In today's world, no Martin Luther King could survive if the FBI were out to destroy him, because you would know everything about him. Well, and in fact, we've seen prominent people like the governor of New York, and others who have been trapped or set up, and their careers destroyed. And that will become the norm. You want to get someone, you can find things on them. We all have things that can be reassembled, put together, a portrait of the individual can be presented that would be quite destructive. Well, and it's an incredible weapon.
Well, there's something even more insidious than just the data gathering and using data that you generate, if I could put it that way. You mentioned something called the Minerva Research Initiative, and that dealt with social coercion, and Facebook is in on it. Can you describe that a little bit?
Yeah, well, Facebook, and they've admitted to it, and then they've now said they have regrets about it, but it was an attempt to manipulate information going to people to see the effect on their behavior, their ideas, what email, their mood. Did it make them more pessimistic or optimistic? And now that everyone lives on the Internet, we're dependent upon these flows of information. And most of I teach at a university, most of my students think this flow of information is neutral. But it's not. It's tailored to you. It could be tailored what you might be interested in. It could be tailored to manipulate you into a certain mood about others, about people of a different race or a different background. It could be manipulated to get you to be more warlike in terms of the rest of the world, more suspicious, hostile to medical program or government program of one kind or another. So the ability to change attitudes, to manipulate people, to set up fears and so forth, it's vast. And again, the only way you can deal with this is transparency. This is why I keep bringing up Snowden, because if we know what's going on, we can then control it. We can say, no, you can't do that. If we know that it's not neutral, we can protect ourselves. Encryption is a very good way. And these big internet companies have started to push back because they know that their business model is being hurt by this, by these revelations.
Well, Bob.
And so Apple and Google would like to allow you to encrypt your mail, and they want to encrypt it when it goes to within their system. The FBI and others have denounced them for doing that. They're saying, no, this kind of protection for people interferes with our work. And what we've done is we've turned the main idea of this country on its head. We have said that we have to have a haystack of information on everybody who lives in this world because they are objects of suspicion. So we have to know everything they do so we can find the few bad needles. the assumption of our society was quite the opposite. It wasn't the public that was supposed to be viewed with suspicion. It was the government. It was the powerful, you see. And so they've turned that upside down. Now, you know, I don't want to get too pessimistic here because I think there is pushback. For one thing, it hurts the business model. The company, the main internet companies are international. They're multinational companies. They have to have the confidence, including Facebook, Apple. You know, they have to have the confidence of people around the world. Google cannot be effective in India or China or anywhere else if people in those countries think, oh, Google is just a pawn of the American government. Okay? So they're pushing back. And they're saying, no, you're hurting our business model. You're hurting this thing that is an incredible... We haven't talked about the positive part of the Internet that's being damaged. This is a great vehicle for education, for bringing people together, you know, for exchanging ideas. But if you turn it into an instrument of surveillance, you ruin it, well, you know?
Bob,
and then it's the secret police who have it.
Bob, we need to break for a commercial real quick, and then when we come back, I want to pursue this the Google relationship with government, if we could. We're talking with Robert Scheer, who is the author of the frightening and amazing book entitled "They Know Everything About You: How Data Collecting Corporations and Snooping Government Agencies Are Destroying Democracy." And you're listening to Robert Scheer here on the Tim Danny Show. We'll be right back.
That was the week survivors were fighting. Bradley Manning is sitting in jail. Patriot Act is reading your mail. Aaron Schwartz is suicidal, but everyone's watching American Idol. That was the week more families died. Drones in the skies commit genocide. Oh, that was the week they could have been saved, but there wasn't room for them on the front page. Oh, that was the week.
The network grows. Voices speaking news corporate media won't broadcast. Danahy.com, EgbertoWillies.com, and now we add ITakeLibertyWithMyCoffee.com with Bobby Rodrigo. Informed, progressive, truthful voices discussing issues above the sound bites of politicians and press releases. Real news with consequences for America, for democracy, for justice, for you. Welcome to Bobby Rodrigo and ITakeLibertyWithMyCoffee.com. Listen now.
That was the week. Fukushima radiation is reaching our shore.
You too can send encrypted emails and text messages. No sweat, no cost, today. The best way to do it is have you and a friend, or you and a group of friends, go to Danahy.com and click on the VaporStream link, or just go to VaporStream.com for more information. Your communications can't be monitored or hacked by Silicon Valley or government. Your communications aren't saved anywhere. They just vaporize after you read them. VaporStream is a highly respected American firm that services major corporations and government agencies. Now you can play their game and appreciate encrypted communications. VaporStream.com, here at Danahy.com.
Afghanistan's looking like El Salvador. Plutonium is leaking in Paducah, Kentucky. While you scratch a card to see if you're lucky.
Okay, you love books. You believe in your country and you want to be involved, but you're sick of the politics. So try this. Join the Coffee Party USA Book Club and share your thoughts and comments with readers across America. Here's how it works. The Coffee Party USA selects a book each month. Buy it from your local bookstore or online and let us know you're going to be part of this book's discussion. Send us some of your thoughts and questions and listen to Coffee Party USA Internet Radio. Hear the authors or a discussion about the book and just be involved. It's that simple. So just click on the Coffee Party USA Book Club link here at Danahy.com or join directly at coffeepartyusa.com/book_club_signup. Something's happening out there. People are getting involved. You should too. CoffeePartyUSA.com.
Wars in the Congo to make our cell phones. Mercury in your teeth, fluoride in your bones. Glyphosate in our food causes cancers, but that was the week The stars and their dancers, Monsanto is changing the food that we eat.
Welcome back to the Tim Danahy Show here at Danahy.com, and it's an honor to be talking with author Robert Scheer about his new book, They Know Everything About You, How Data Collecting Corporations and Snooping Government Agencies Are Destroying Democracy. And this book really gets you wondering about the intent and where things are going, and especially the relationship. I know that Microsoft and others are losing contracts around the world. But Bob, you mentioned that Google is trying to break ranks, if we could put it that way. Google and Apple are trying to break ranks with government policies on data collection and encryption and so forth. But who is Regina Dugan? And can you talk about her? And if you wish, I will read what she said on page 105. Because I find her to be a soulless agent of the devil, it sounds. But she works at Google.
Right. She used to work at DARPA, which was the Government Advanced Research Agency that basically invented the Internet as part of, having redundancy in the event of a nuclear war. So that's where it originally comes from. But that's a long time before we discovered the great commercial potential of the Internet, the ability to make money. And what happened was, at a key point, Google just recruited the key people in the DARPA agency to go work for them in Silicon Valley, and she was the head of that agency. She's now head of Google's advanced research, and she is as explicit as she is foul-mouthed. I don't know how much of the language you can use, but she's
all of it.
Pretty clear. Oh, okay. Go ahead.
Well, no, I mean, she is, as you mentioned, is foul-mouthed, but if I may, Bob, may I read that paragraph that quotes her from page 105 of your book?
Yeah.
Remember, this is Regina Dugan, and she works at Google, and this is what she said to a group of people. She said, "Now, it may be true that 10 to 20-year-olds may not want to wear a watch on their wrist, but you can be sure that they'd be far more interested in wearing an electronic tattoo, if only to piss off their parents." The crowd laughs. "That's something you wear, but you can also imagine including authentication in just your daily habits. So I take a vitamin every morning. What if I just take a vitamin authentication? I have one right here," and she pulls out a tablet. "This pill has a small chip inside of it with a switch. It also has what amounts to an inside-out potato battery. When you swallow it, the acids in your stomach serve as an electrolyte, and they power it up, and the switch goes on and off. It creates an 18-bit EKG-like signal in your body, and essentially your entire body becomes the authentication token. That becomes my first superpower. I mean, it means that my arms are like wires, my hands are like alligator clips when I touch a phone, my computer, my door, my car. I'm authenticated in. First superpower, like, I want that. We're not shipping that right away. Here's the thing, it's not science fiction. That pill has been CE stamped and cleared by the FDA. We at Google can tell you if you've taken your pill." Bob, what kind of person is working at Google, and what kind of soulless lack of regard for humanity is guiding Google's long-range planning?
Well, it's not just Google. The reality is that the basic economic model of the Internet, the profit-making model, is targeted advertising based on invading your privacy. That's the killer app, okay? That's why newspapers are in trouble. That's why broadcast television is in trouble, because those traditional mediums could only promise an advertiser a guess at the audience, a Nielsen rating. I worked at the LA Times for 29 years. They sold ads to, say, automobile companies. They sold ads saying, "Well, we're going to have so many people read the paper on Sunday." They didn't even know if they would read that section, but they certainly didn't know whether they would follow up on the ads. And in the Internet, then people should understand that most of the services provided on the Internet are provided for free, like Google Mail, for example, a search. These are all provided for free. You are not the customer. You are the mark. The customer is the advertiser. The advertiser wants to buy your data. They want to know, hey, Joe Smith is looking for a car, and he looked at a Ford, but he hasn't looked at ours. Let's send him an ad. That's why these ads pop up. So what the key to the Internet, the economic key to the Internet, is to grab your data any which way, and that's why they'll sign you up for search free or for Gmail free, because they want to get your data. And that data allows the targeted advertising. It allows manipulation of desires, a play on your desires, and to reach you. And then they know whether you clicked on it. They know whether you bought something. So the people buying those ads know how effective it is. And then there's a Google ad auction, and the price is set accordingly. And so what she was really bragging about is the ability to constantly monitor people. Constantly, you take something as innocent as the Apple Watch that's coming out now. There are other watches there, but the key of that watch will be to monitor your blood pressure, right? Your heartbeat, you know, also your body temperature, and all sorts of information, as well as what phone calls you made and what purchases you made, your economic data. All of that information that's being collected just from the watch about you and what you're watching and what you're eating and what you're doing is then data mined. It's put through supercomputers, and profiles are developed. And those profiles are then sold to people who want to reach, say, a 28-year-old who is looking for a sports car and has some discretionary income, and where they live, and what they read. And then they will find you somewhere on the Internet with the targeted advertising. They don't even need the old broadcaster or newspaper. They just get you wherever you are, on a search, you know, or looking for a restaurant, Yelping or something. And that's why these ads pop up. Now, it's not always a bad thing. If you look for an excerpt of my book on, say, TruthDig, the site I edit, or on Salon, a number of people have run excerpts from my books, you'll find an ad at the bottom from Google. And it's not, from my point of view, a bad ad, because that's the good side of Google. They're worried about the surveillance state because they think it'll hurt their business model. So the ad will say, push back, talk back, take action against the NSA, against the surveillance state. But how did Google know to be there? Because their algorithm said you were reading that excerpt from Robert Scheer's book, and therefore you're likely to sign their petition to Congress, right? So that what people know is that these ads pop up all the time. What they don't understand is that they're based on an intimate profile of who you are. And that is really quite ominous, because if people don't have private space to experiment, to maybe glance at a book that might be controversial, you know, to go to a church that might be controversial, to vote for a candidate that might be controversial, if they think they're being observed all the time, they will modify their behavior to make themselves bland, non-threatening. And that is the process that we have. That's the bargain with the devil that we're in now.
Well, Bob,
it's truly frightening. People cannot live or think they cannot live without turning over this data. I did it, as I said before, maybe 40 or 50 times. Today I gave my thumbprint to Apple and to anyone else Apple wants to sell it to. You know, and I did it for convenience, even knowing what I do about this whole process. It just became inconvenient not to do it.
Well, Bob, how do we bring this intelligent empire under control?
It's a very simple thing. I mentioned it before, and it's called opt-in. And conservatives and liberals can all agree on it. You know, you had William Safire, who was Nixon's speechwriter, and he was a New York Times columnist. He favored it. Ed Markey, who's a liberal congressman and now a senator from Massachusetts, favored it. We've had these battles. And the basic thing is, you should own your information. And when you turn that information over, it should be for an explicit purpose. Okay, Yelp, I want you to help me find that restaurant, but I do not want you to take that information and sell it to anyone else, to share it with anyone else, to mine it, to use it as a way of making profit without my permission.
Well,
that should be the basic thing. If you're going to use my medical record or my financial data, all of this material, which you're grabbing from everywhere in the world and buying from people and collecting, I should be told about it, and I should have to say, I want to opt in. Yes, go ahead and do it. We don't have any legal protection whatsoever now for our privacy. The only protection we have, by the way, comes from the Fourth Amendment. And there is, as I mentioned in the book, a very good example, by way of it being bipartisan. Last June, the Roberts-led Supreme Court had a unanimous decision on the Fourth Amendment. And it was signed off by the liberals and conservatives on the court. And what they said is that Fourth Amendment, A, Roberts wrote, was the reason for the American Revolution. When the agents of the king went into your home and rummaged around in your possessions, that's what kicked off the American Revolution, okay? And they said, and what Roberts said in his decision, again, unanimous, was that in this new technological age, it is precisely because there is so much information that we need a more robust application of the Fourth Amendment. The case involved somebody grabbing your smartphone during the course of arrest, a policeman or something. And the court said the police cannot break your code and get all that information in your cell phone or your smartphone. That is protected by the Fourth Amendment. That is a general warrant. It's a violation of due process, and you have to have a specific cause approved by a court before you can do that. It was a very important decision, and I think opens up a very optimistic avenue for dealing with this problem. I don't think this is all over, because I think when people realize what is happening to their zone of privacy, they will get frightened the way you were.
Well, you've written an incredible book, Bob. Once again, the book is entitled They Know Everything About You, How Data Collecting Corporations and Snooping Government Agencies Are Destroying Democracy, and the author is Robert Scheer. And Bob, I want to thank you so much for coming on the Tim Danahy Show. It was an honor to have you here. The book was absolutely opens up your mind, and it's really a call for action. And you did a wonderful job with it.
Okay, thank you very much. And anytime.
Thank you very much, sir. Robert Scheer, They Know Everything About You, and you heard him here on the Tim Danahy Show.
Radically altering seeds with deceit. Roundup is coming out in your urine. My brothers in prison are torturing urine. Jill Stein and Sherry are shackled to chairs. Media is acting like they're unaware, while Obama and Romney from Wall Street debating, doing each other incestuous mating. But we didn't care, 'cause we didn't know. We only saw what they chose to show. We got our kicks, we're not complaining. It's only news if it's entertaining. Oh, that was the week. That was the week. Shell kills the Ogoni, there's blood in its oil. Texaco's burning a forest to spoil. Bovine growth hormone is milking the public. But that was the week. Kardashians were lovesick. Oh, that was the week of corporate crime. Whitewash of justice, time after time. Oh, that was the week voting rights were suspended. That was the year civil liberties ended. Oh, that was the week, that was the year. Those were the stories we didn't hear. That was the week. That was the week. That was the week.